Welcome back. Thanks for listening to all the other ones, and hope these podcasts are helping you in some way. Okay, so before I get into it, let's do the opening prayer and hope that you're all memorizing it somehow. Okay, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. So I'm trying to say the Our Father prayer in different ways so that you learn it. But let's get on with this season of background of my life, and hopefully some can relate to it and it's helping some people. Right, so I cleared my throat a bit, sorry. Right, so where were we? The last few, that's right, the nurse. Life wasn't too eventful after that because of the injections. I was still slightly empathic, and the telepathy had vanished. Yeah, messages and shit. Yeah, so the telepathy had vanished, and not a clue as to what I was supposed to be doing. It's with a foster family. Didn't realize at the time that they were my cousins. Grew up on a dairy farm. The first chance I got, I left. At the time, as a child, it seemed like a good childhood. You know, a child doesn't really know what a good childhood is and isn't. And in hindsight, it was mostly good. The getting up early and milking cows before school and then milking them after school was a bit hard. I lacked a school education because of that. You know, you're going to school tired, and then you get home to milk more cows instead of studying, and then you go home after the milking and sit down for dinner, and then it's like, you know, clean up, you're stuffed, you want to go to sleep, it's no time for study, then you got to get up and do it again, and falling asleep in the classroom because you're getting up at like, what, 5 in the morning to work and then go catch a bus. So I didn't get much of an education. I was pretty much failed everything in school and added high school, and was just, I ended up getting kicked out of school. So I couldn't pass much of anything. I ended up being put in the dummy class. Well, this is a fucking waste of time. And I kind of got offered, when I got to high school in Whangarei, I was offered a leaving certificate or expulsion. So you know what I took. But growing up in Opononi with my foster family was actually really hard. And in hindsight, it was actually really bad. Because as a child, you don't know what's bad and what's good. And now that upon reflection, it was actually quite abusive. So not only did I have such a horrific childhood before I got to them, such a horrific childhood that I wanted to die and prayed for it, met Jesus. Then after that, my abilities were removed by doctors at my family, foster family's request. I then was abused by that foster family. It seemed nice. You know, we went camping to the beach and fishing and grew up on a farm with animals and almost no education because he was falling asleep in classroom. It was okay. It was just a childhood. It was okay. But there was abuse. There was verbal, mental abuse. Mental abuse. I was born in Germany. And they used to pick and poke at me for that, for being German. I'm not going to say some of the things they said. Well, I'll say one of them. One of the most common things they constantly said was, oh, I don't know why he's like that. It's in the breed. Must be the German breed. It's in the breed, they used to say. You're kicking the ass, a slap around the head for not really understanding what they want you to do. And just standing your ground and defending yourself. And in later years, you got told you're an arsehole of a kid. You're a bad child. But no, a child isn't bad for defending themselves. I was simply just trying to defend my rights as a human. And got called the bad things for it. And then slapped and booted. And what's even worse is the foster care put us there. And upon reflection, they probably weren't human either. The teachers weren't. The nurse wasn't. The doctors probably weren't that gave Linda the pills to give to me. Calcify my pineal gland. And on hindsight, social welfare probably wasn't either. They probably still aren't. And the abuse wasn't just physical and emotional, verbal, mental. I caught him one morning looking in a bedroom window at me and my older brother changing, perving. And I didn't know what that was at the time. I was like shocked. What the hell is he doing looking at us? And the older brother says, oh, just ignore him and pretend he's not there. I said, I can't ignore that. I closed the curtains on him. And I told Mum, and Mum said, oh, don't worry about that. That wasn't him. She just made an excuse. Happened again next day. I ran up to the window and told them to go away and close the curtains. It gets worse. Used to go down to the cow shed and he'd be prodding my ass with a stick. You know, I'd be looking around, he'd be poking my ass with a stick, wanting my ass. I fought back. I grew up in foster homes from like the age of three, four, and five, defending myself and my sister with knives against other bullies that would want to rape her. People that were hitting us, police trying to catch us, we ran away. I wasn't going to let some pervy bastard try and fucking rape me. So I fought back. And when I told Mum that, she shrugged it off. So I told the whole family. They sort of semi-shrugged it off and said I was just a kid and it's just memories of my childhood coming back. They covered it over like any good family would. So yeah, you keep trying though. I kept fighting back, kept getting beaten. So the first chance I got, I was out of there. My sister and I tried to run many times. Went to the school, tried to run from the school, got picked up by the police. Gang got beaten. Not just by the cops. Cops beat us. Teachers whacked us with straps. Got back home, got beaten again. Kept trying to run. We realised we were so far out in the country, we can't run. Where to? And so it stopped, and then we realised we just got to shut up, pucker up, harden up, get through it until we're old enough to go. And when we got the first chance to go, we left. The shithole called Whangarei. There was a good priest there, though, a good pastor of a church. There were some good people there. And like any teenagers, you don't know what to do. And don't know what life's really about. Never really was told. And one day I'm wandering down the road. And my sister by this point had left and she'd gone to the army. And I was wandering down the road one day by myself and just wandering, you know, lost. Don't know what the hell to do. And this priest, this pastor walks up and yells at me across the street and says, wait there, please. He told me to wait on the other side of the road. He ran over and he says, I'm pretty sure God told me to come and talk to you. You're lost, right? And I says, well, yeah. So he says, come with me. Come to my church. So I went to the church and had a look and introduced me to some young people there and just felt so out of place. So not where I was meant to be. But turns out that's exactly where God wanted me to be. I met some good Christian people and they were all from well cared for, loving families, which I'd never really seen. You know, I come from beatings all the time. Growing up from like a very young age of trying to protect my sister from rapists and shit and fucking foster house after foster house, running from police in the streets of Wellington. And going to another family, you know, getting verbally, emotionally, physically abused and attempted rape. But, and then shrugged under the rugs, seeing monsters and shit, to go into a Christian building with nice people. And so that was really, really different and an eye-opening. That's when everything about Christianity started, I started learning about. And I kind of had forgotten all about meeting with Jesus. It was quite weird. It was like he had covered over all my memories and encounters with him and the angel. And it wasn't until much, much later. I'll bring that up in another episode. But that was just the teen years, right? So I'm just going over, leaving Opononi to Whangarei, kicked out of high school, into a job with other Christians, Baptist people. So I worked as hard as I could to make the money, and I done what I could, and ended up, like all young men, meeting young girls and wanting to hook up, and that didn't happen. The fathers were really nice about it, thank God. It could have been worse, but they were nice. And leaving Whangarei and tiling, met a guy in the area who trained me in my profession. And then many years go past, let's fast forward, many years go past, I get really good at my job and, you know, start my own business, and then bump into my wife, who I prayed for almost my entire childhood, praying for a wife that would stick with me, and met her and settled down, had some children, lovely children, makes life all worthwhile, being married to a good woman and having good children and grandchildren now. So that's life fast forwarded, and still not knowing what we're supposed to be doing. Still don't know. And but over that time, there were a few weird things I had noticed. One, there was one encounter where I'm driving my car, right? So I'm married, have children now, living in Rotorua, and I'm driving around town. Really bad driver, by the way, just speeding all the time, tickets all the time, unwarranted registered cars all the time. Finally start getting past all that crap and way of living and start driving legally and legal cars and driving nice. Anyway, there's this one occasion where I'm driving through this park and there's no one around. Just me and this cop car behind me. No one else. So you're supposed to indicate going on to a roundabout here in this country and then you indicate going off. I didn't. I just drove straight through, no indicate, and this cop's right behind me. And he flashes me and pulls me over. And he gets out and walks up the side of my car. And lo and behold, the first time I ever seen a short cop, skinny, policeman's hat on, had the whole uniform and everything. But he had really long, straight hair. Really long. Down to like, well, his backside, I suppose. I've never seen a cop with long hair before. And he had this old school pad. And he was writing down my details on this old school pad. And because at that time, police were giving out fines on, they would just take down your details on like a digital thingy. And the fine would just turn up in the mail. This cop pulls out an old pad. Starts writing everything down, and I look at him, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's a bit different, and he asked me, why didn't you indicate going off, or indicate on? I says, well, there's no one around here to be a bad example to. There was literally no one to indicate to. He says, didn't you see me behind you? He says, yeah, I knew you were behind me, but you're a cop, I'm not being a bad example to you, so don't worry about it, and you're quite a ways behind me. And he just laughed. He says, okay, well, I'm going to give you a warning this time. I'm not going to give you a fine. I'm just going to give you a warning. And do it again. I said, oh, great, great, okay. And he walks off and left me. And I thought, that was odd. I called the station up a couple of days later, and I explained to them what happened, and I explained the description of the cop, and the police sort of laughed over the phone and said, no, we don't have police officers here with long hair, and you're not allowed to have your hair out and long out anyway, even if you did. Women aren't allowed, and there's no guys here with long hair. And we don't use pads either. And they said, it's not uncommon to have that sort of thing happen, though. We're not going to say, well, they didn't say what it was. I said, well, who was it? Well, how do you know? I mean, like, has this happened a few times? I said, yeah, it's happened, yeah. I asked around a bit more, and some other people said, nah, we reckon it was an angel. So this cop was posing as an angel. I mean, this angel was posing as a police officer, just, I don't know, checking up on me, I suppose. Bad driving habits and crap like that. But that was my first encounter with a police officer. Angel pretending to be a police officer. And my boring teenage life, fast forward all that, married life. So by this time, yeah. So that wasn't the only encounter. There's another one I'll tell you about. It's a little bit longer. It involved a guy, I think it was a fallen angel. Because there were police officers, angels pretending to be cops again, trying to catch this other dude that I'd been hanging out with for a couple of days. It was dodgy as. Quite a dodgy person. Always looking to hook up with young girls and like not honoring his word when he says he's going to buy drinks and lying all the time and trying to cheat people all the time and ripping people off all the time. And I thought, oh, this dude's out of it. Come out of a nightclub one night and there's these two cops across the street. Little. They were short. They looked like children in police uniforms. Truly. And they looked like chicks. Well, not too short. No, actually, they looked like teenager size. Across the street, on the opposite side of this bar, when this bar was closing, they were waiting there. This guy that I was with, quite a big guy, he just sort of stopped, looked at them and freaked out. And they yelled out to me and said, don't cross the street with him. We've been after him for a little while. And I looked at him and he says to me, come across with me. He grabs my arm. I says, nah, they've been after you for ages. What'd you do? He says, you don't know anything. And he just sort of took a pace away from me, wondering what he was going to do. And anyway, he sort of goes down the road a bit, goes just across the street, and he gets away. I run across to see if where he went, and the police officers didn't catch him. He went down the road, down a street, sort of ducked down next to a car. Poof, gone. Just vanished. And the two coppers says, oh no, he's gone. Don't worry, we know where he's going. We'll get him. And so I turned around to look at them and to ask them who they were. And I said, now, who are you guys? And they says, oh, no, don't worry about that. We'll catch him. And they says, oh, who's that? Is that your friend over there waving up? And I look across the street. I look back and they're gone. They were standing right next to me. All I did was turn my head for a second, turn back, and they were just right next to me. Walked around a corner, gone. So there's another second encounter of angels pretending to be cops, chasing down, must have been one of the fallen. That's all I could conclude. He also had the same ability to just vanish. Yeah, that was interesting. I've been hanging out with that creepy guy for days. He was posing as a property developer. Well, actually, he was building storage garages. Actually, that's another thing I've got to tell you about in the next episode, about these storage garages. I've seen some dodgy shit come out of there. Anyway, so I better close up this one for now. Coming on 20 minutes. It's a boring episode. I don't know, but anyway, a little bit of an insight of Robble. upbringing. Anyway, Psalms 23. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.